The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We might turn our attention to Irish politics for the next few minutes because Sean O'Rourke is with me, the podcaster and former RTE presenter and former political correspondent. Sean, it's good to talk to you.
Nice to be here in this. Oh, I don't think I've ever been in a more well-appointed studio.
It's
in
beautiful,
all my life.
Isn't it?
Perched out over the River Nor.
Barrow.
Well,
the Nore about 3 miles upstream there, the Nore joined it. Okay. So we'll allow that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, beautiful and the beautiful place. Beautiful sights of County Kilkenny, of course, across the.
You would
there.
Say that, wouldn't you?
I would. And that church. You see that church up there? That church. I was christened in that church.
I see.
So
yeah.
There you are. It's something of a homecoming for me. You know.
That's a bit like me and Rathneska and the ploughing.
Oh, yeah, was that it? Yes.
Today's show, anyway.
I'm actually going to be back here on Saturday, and I know you were doing a kind of a fireside chat with Sean Connick a little bit earlier today, and I'm back on Saturday for a debate and a discussion about our own upcoming presidential election. So we might start off there. What is your sense of what is happening and what is going to happen in Fianna Fáil with regards to a candidate?
Well, now, as Micheál O'Mahertig might say in the middle of a match commentary, anything can happen, right? It looks as though, from what one hears, and coming to an event like this, you're always going to pick up little nuggets of insights from people who you reckon are in the know. But certainly this Jim Gavin potential candidacy is being taken more and more seriously with every passing day. In fairness, Mary Regan, I think, broke the story exclusively in the Indo earlier this week, and others have been following it. And, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He ticks, as they say, a lot of boxes. The one thing that hasn't been mentioned, he's a great Gaeilgeor. He was patron of the Seachtain na Gaeilge. That's another thing that can pitch into the mix, as it were. And, you know, he's one of these guys. He mightn't be the most charismatic, but he is an achiever, and he's methodical and he's meticulous, and he certainly would represent the party and the voters. I'm not canvassing for him when I say this, but he's somebody you could certainly let out, and he's got and also I think Fine Gael have humiliated Sean Kelly. And they may
really?
Have cheesed. Well, yeah, I mean, the way there was this rush to endorse Heather Humphreys to the point where, well, Kelly mightn't even be able to make it to a contest. Now, there's still time for them to roll that back. But I just thought it was, somebody used the word unseemly, and I think it was a very good way to put it. There was this rush to support Heather Humphreys. And, I mean, Sean Kelly is a man of substance, and, like, he's got the GA connection, and maybe I'm kind of reading too much into this thing, but, you know, if you were kind of well-disposed to a GA person, then you mightn't have been a Fianna Fáil supporter, and you might have been inclined to go for Kelly. Well, there's somebody else maybe there. Mm. From what I know, from what I gather, Jim Gavin is certainly taking a lot of soundings from people close to him, weighing it all up, working it out. I think, you know, the next week is going to be very interesting. Another name, by the way, it kind of surfaced briefly and it kind of disappeared. And I think he would be a very presentable candidate. And he's from the sporting side of things as well. Niall Quinn. Again, he is an extremely well-read man. He's done a thesis on Oscar Traynor, who was one of the big wheels in the early part of this century, you know, the last one.
Yeah.
When the state was being founded and, you know, sort of there's an Oscar Traynor Cup and an Oscar Traynor big wheel in Fianna Fáil. And there's real depth to Niall Quinn. So I don't know where that one disappeared to. But who knows? And then, of course, you've got Mary Hanifan, you've got potentially Billy Kelleher. So, look, I think if I was to, you know, if Ivan Yates was still a bookie and I was going into it with my tenor, I think I'd be putting it on Jim Gavin.
He might not be a bookie. I'd say he'd take a bet, though, if you ask him, Sean. Let's talk about Fine Gael then. Do you suspect as well that there are some in Fine Gael who think they've missed an opportunity by not having something of a contest as well? That it would be a chance to air some of the dirty laundry in public to get the eventual candidate, even if it is ultimately Heather Humphreys, get her used to the campaign,
yeah,
get her
sure
used to her argument.
Of dirty laundry surrounding either the
no,
two
but
potential
I guess,
candidates.
I guess but when I say dirty laundry, like I don't mean necessarily as skeletons in the closet, but rather it would get them used to defending maybe some of the policies that will come under scrutiny in the campaign proper.
There is the whole business of the family referendums from last year, whenever it happened. That Heather Humphreys had responsibility for as Director of Elections. That could have got an airing. I mean, it will still get an airing if she is the candidate. I mean, I think, you know, she would be a very fine candidate. She's got a lot of experience. And I suspect, you know, I mean, she has pretty much got it wrapped up. Interesting that she has kind of rediscovered her zest for battle. And, but I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting. And then, of course, the other possibility is that in addition to Catherine Connolly, you'll have other independent candidates emerging. Who knows? But it looks like that the county councils will again take their options seriously of nominating people for the
election. Do you suspect, so there had been a school of thought maybe that the county council route wouldn't really be open to anyone this time out, that, you know, the big parties would shut that down. But I hear more and more talk and suggestion that at least one person might get that.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Maybe even more than one. Party headquarters mightn't like it, but at the same time, you know, councillors, they can be a bit truculent as well. They don't like being told too much what to do.
Yeah.
And there's so much in politics now that is centralised in party headquarters and party leaders. You know, they don't have a whole lot of discretion in many things. And this is one of their, if you like, their prerogatives. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they ignored any kind of a directive from headquarters.
Okay, so we have that avenue open then to different people who might pursue it. You mentioned Catherine Connolly as well. Alan Kelly's intervention yesterday, how impactful or otherwise do you suspect it might be? So just for people maybe who weren't paying attention to the news yesterday, Alan Kelly, former leader of the party, said he will not support and will not vote for Catherine Connolly as president for a whole variety of reasons, amongst them the things she has said about the Labour Party in the past. But he said chiefly it was because in 2018 she thought that Gemma O'Doherty was a better candidate than Michael D. Higgins, is how he put it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Now, he also said that there was lots of people in the Labour Party who agreed with him.
Yeah, I think that's one of these things. If I was Ivana Bacic, I would be afraid. I might be very afraid of where this is really leading. Because Alan Kelly, he was kind of unceremoniously dumped as leader at a time when he probably would feel that he didn't get a proper chance to, you know, do the job. And what that to me suggests very strongly is Alan Kelly hasn't gone away, you know. And, you know, if the Labour Party still continues to bump along at, what, 4% in the polls, well, how much longer are they going to say, wonder what's the problem here then, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a touch of the, you know, Lord of the Blades mentality about Alan Kelly and the way he does politics. So I'd watch that space quite closely.
Yeah, so do you suspect maybe that's the import of that intervention? It wasn't so much about Catherine Connolly, it was maybe about Ivana Bacic.
Yeah, I think it might have been, yeah.
Okay. So do you think, though, then when he says there's plenty of people in the party who agree with him, well, that he was engaging in a bit of hyperbole?
Not necessarily. I mean, you take Fergus Finlay's contribution about it, saying, yeah, you know, he was surprised that he didn't get the opportunity. I mean, we're in Wexford, by the way, as we know, in New Ross. I wonder, did Brendan Howland feature on the radar at all? I mean, he's somebody with a, you know, a long and distinguished, yeah, and very experienced career in politics. Would he have been interested? I remember being in Leinster House, walking across the plinth in the early part of this year and meeting a colleague of mine. Said, you know, Brendan Howland's knocking around and he's looking like somebody who's waiting to be asked. So I don't know if that was the case.
Okay.
But again, he would have been a plausible candidate for the Labour Party.
I understand Ciarán Ahern is the point person in Labour in dealing with Catherine Connolly.
Well, we have to do a bit of disclosing here, don't we?
Yes, Ciarán Ahern
happens to be my son-in-law, married to my daughter Maeve and father of their two.
What's the juice? What's the juice he's given you?
Fionn and Dara Rory. Well, I haven't been talking to him, and even if it was, I probably couldn't reveal anything. But I just say, you know, for a new TD, it's a great opportunity to learn loads.
Yes.
And in that liaison, I think it's publicly been stated that Labour aren't actually putting any money into it. Now, I mean, Alan Kelly has kind of thrown a bit of a spanner in the works in regard to, well, you know, why should we back this woman? I have to say, yeah, coming and having grown up in Galway, born a leash, I always say that. But Catherine Connolly lived not far away and grew up, you know, in a neighbourhood not far away from where I grew up. And I have to say I was grateful to her for announcing her interest in the presidency on my podcast last, I think it was March, gave the lead story to the Connacht Tribune. So, you know, what's not to like about her approach to this?
Catherine Connolly, then, we'll have to wait and see to what extent kind of Labour go out and bat for her, or who in Labour goes out and bats for her. We haven't mentioned Sinn Féin yet.
That's a fascinating one. I mean, there's lots of things about Sinn Féin that are fascinating, not least the arrival of Conor Murphy down to the Shannon. And, you know, it's been kind of teased and trawled through quite a lot. But, you know, you kind of think that there's something going on there about the management of the leadership, and Mary Lou kind of floating the possibility that she would be considered. And then there's another candidate from Mayo, Mary Rose Conway, potential candidate. So I think they, you know, it's almost like Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin are kind of watching each other, wondering which side is going to jump first or whatever, you know, see what the others are, and then we'll make our move. But I can't see them not putting up a candidate, simply because, you know, as one, there was an old independent TD in the 60s in Dublin Central, what's now Dublin, he used to say, his name was Sean Dunn, you say, there's a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to great publicity. And that's one of the ways you could look at something like the presidency.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to know what Sinn Féin's hopes are in terms of the campaign. Yeah, Fianna Fáil want to run a candidate who can win, who was expected. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Sinn Féin, it seems that there seems to be a school of thought that the candidate that can win is a candidate they don't necessarily want to put forward.
That would
Michelle O'Neill or Mary Lou McDonald.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's, well, who do we put forward then if we're not, if we don't think we have a real chance of winning it? They seem to want to avoid the blowback they got after Leon Arreola, who was a very serious candidate, very serious politician.
Very capable
politician.
But
underperformed very seriously. And one wonders whether Sinn Féin, and of course they're never going to state this publicly, whether one of their calculations is just, who can we put forward that will avoid the scrutiny that we were under after a candidate bombed the last time out? If we're not going to win it, who will kind of come middle of the road?
Well, certainly Rose Conway Walsh, I think, would be able to do that job for them. And I think their priority would be to get the whole future of, you know, the island of Ireland, potential for a border poll, all of that, to get that, you know, substantially onto the campaign, or into the campaign and into the debates. And, you know, I suppose, you know, they can't let that opportunity go.
Did Michael D. Higgins change the nature of the office?
Well, he certainly, I mean, a bit like Mary Robinson, you might say. I mean, all of the last three presidents, they did expand it. I mean, Michael D. Higgins, you could say, I mean, if you read Stephen Collins on this one, who, by the way, mentioned that three former Labour ministers had said to him they were aghast at the idea of Catherine Connolly being supported by Labour. But, you know, he spoke out and was outspoken on all manner of things, whether it was housing, whether it was the Middle East, Gaza, all of that, in a way that, you know, certainly wouldn't have been tolerated or tried on by previous presidents, or tolerated by previous governments. But you go back to, you know, Dick Spring went berserk. He was Minister for Foreign Affairs, and Mary Robinson went up to Belfast and shook hands with Gerry Adams, which drew the response from Albert Reynolds. Now, I'm not saying there were intentions between the pair of them, but look, Albert's attitude was, you can't argue with 90%, which was the approval rating of Robinson at the time. So, yes, they have expanded it. They've managed to get away with, if you like, pushing the boundaries of what they're allowed to talk about. I mean, theoretically, all speeches by presidents, like all foreign trips, are meant to be passed by the government, but that isn't the case any longer.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a fascinating few weeks ahead. Whether Fianna Fáil will eventually have their candidate in time for the ploughing championships, which have been mentioned.
Oh, listen,
more
that's a sine qua non. Yeah,
you can't have multiple candidates roaming around the Midlands looking for votes. Sean, listen, it's been a great pleasure.
You
Thanks
too.
A million for popping into us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.